It's been a long time since I've preached with this particular microphone, so I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work, but it sounds like it's going to work just fine. Let me get over to where. It's good to have visitors with us. Thank you for taking the time to come out this evening. I know a number of you are here to visit your families, and we hope that's an enjoyable time for the evening. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believeth not shall be condemned." And so that is our lesson for this evening on personal work. Get your songbooks out. Do I need to say more? I'll say more. Not that I'm going to say more than what Jesus says, but you know, the reality is, that's, I think you're right. Turn this tape recorder off. I got some talking to do right now. No, that's fine. It was jokingly said, for those who didn't hear, that may have been my best lesson. But it is to the point, isn't it? It gets right to the point. That's our responsibility, to go into the world and preach the gospel. Open your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and I'm going to read just the first four verses there as we prepare for a conversation about evangelism and our responsibility in evangelism. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, beginning in verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New King James, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." From this particular text, we're going to talk about evangelism. And we're going to be talking about the small e of evangelism. And I have no idea why that switched on me. It was going to be a small e at the beginning of the word evangelism. Because what I wanted to do was get across the idea we're not talking about some grand sense in which we get involved in some great evangelistic effort, but rather bringing it down to you and I and our individual responsibilities. And the challenge that we have in our lives of taking the gospel to the people that are lost. I want you to literally take part in this next exercise. Raise your hand if you know five people who are of the age of accountability and outside Jesus Christ tonight. Come on, you got to put your hand up, Charles. You do. Thank you. Starting Wednesday night, the Lord willing, Joe Shane has a mind to remember this. On the screen where we have God learns, we lead, or God leads, we learn, God we love, I'm going to put down at the bottom a big number 5. And I'm going to leave it on there, unless I get a lot of blowback about it. I'm going to leave it on there for 2019. With a reminder constantly to us that there are at least 5 people we know who are lost. Now, what are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about the 5 people you know who are outside of Jesus Christ? What are you going to do about the 5, some of whom may be children of God who have no longer walked in the light, who are no longer acting as Christians? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to be satisfied with going through 2019 with the number 5 up there, and having said nothing to those people? I would hope not. Notice that I'm not asking that we have each of us 5 individuals that we bring to Christ in 2019. I'm just asking that we take those 5 people, concentrate on them, and share Christ with them in some way, in some facet, each day that we get an opportunity to be around them. And I'll suggest to you that it would be subtle, not banging them over the head with a Bible, but it'll be a subtle approach that you'll take with them. that it'll be opportunities to just say a word here or there. The lesson that Jason brought a few weeks ago about the idea of sharing the gospel, I think is an important one for us to remember and to realize. I've often said it, it's not a matter of, can I get a Bible study with somebody? Can I get them to understand the gospel? Can I get them to die with Christ in baptism? That's what we want to get to. But the five are going to be individuals. Can I plant some of the seed in their heart? Can I water that seed? Can I come back later and water that seed again? Can I throw a little more seed in with it? That's going to be the objective. And if by chance you get the opportunity to have a Bible study with them and you don't feel really confident about it, I and others, I'm sure, but I'd be delighted to join with you in having a non-confrontational study with them until it comes to the point where we need to convict them. Because if you don't convict somebody that they need Christ, they're never going to need Christ. And then it would be wonderful, not for numeric growth, but just to be able to take from the list of five that you know, take one name off, and then of course there'll be another you can put back on in the future. So let's keep that in our minds as we talk about the lesson this evening, but also remember it throughout the months as we go through 2019. Five. We're just going to talk to five. Well, no, excuse me. We're not going to just talk to five, but five people we're going to call on. We're going to take special interest in. As we talk about this idea of evangelism, we're talking about the idea of taking the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel, which is in fact part of the definition of one of the Greek words, and I'm not going to talk about those different Greek words, how it's broken down as to where we get the word evangelize, evangelism, evangelist. They have centered around them a couple of things that we need to keep in common with them, and that is that it is about the gospel. And when it's about the gospel, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, it's about the good news. Here's the great thing. I don't have to, and you don't have to go to somebody with some horrible story to tell them. You don't have to go to them with some bad news about something that's going on in the world. We get to share the good news. Now, I recognize that what scares us sometimes is that the good news becomes bad news to them because of the bad things they've done in their life that they've got to get rid of in order to come to the good news. And we're afraid how they're going to react to that. We're afraid how they're going to react to us in relation to that good news. If it's such good news, why aren't they willing to hear? Well, because Satan has implanted in them, to take up the jargon of the world around us, Satan has implanted in their minds a lot of fake news. And that fake news has overshadowed, has drowned out the good news of Jesus Christ. So while I'm encouraging us all to have five names that we're going to pray about, that we're going to seek opportunities to teach, it's going to be tough. It's going to be discouraging with some of them, maybe all of them, because of the things that have been preconceived in their minds in a lifetime. But don't let that stop you. Don't let that discourage you. If one of those five people reaches a point where they say, look, I get what you've been doing the last couple of months, and let's just call a time out. Don't talk to me anymore about your religion. I won't talk to you about my religion. You know what happens if they do that with one of your five? Get another one. How many know, Charles, you've got to put your hand up on this one too. How many people know more than five people who are not in Christ? Thank you all for participating. So you see, it won't be a problem to take that fifth if they finally say, enough is enough. Replace them. Pray about them. Take the word. Take the seed. Share the good news at every opportunity that you have. In the text, we also find, again, a part of the original language. We have that idea of preaching. Same root word, same idea. And it is the idea of what Jesus said, as I quoted at the beginning of the lesson, the good part of my lesson. It is the idea that it is good news and we need to bring it. We don't need to keep it in this comfortable building. It is not enough to have someone stand before us with a degree of ability to make it understandable to us. That's not fulfilling everything that God wants us to do in evangelizing, bringing the good word, the good news to others. Now you go over to Acts the 21st chapter, and what you find is a reference there to an evangelist. We could also go over to Acts the 8th chapter, but I simply put a passage in there as a reference. An evangelist. And it doesn't need to be simply somebody like me who is fortunate enough to be blessed with your giving me the financial means to concentrate on sharing the gospel rather than having to work a secular job as well. And I will say to you at this time, officially, as I've done each year, I want to thank you very much for the cost of living raise that the men have afforded my wife and I for the coming year. If you weren't at the meeting to vote against it, too bad. Maybe you should go to more business meetings. But in all seriousness, we greatly appreciate the fact that you care about us and want to take care of our physical needs. And this is where the small e was supposed to be in evangelism on my title. Because I'm not the only evangelist here. Every man, woman, and child is an evangelist here. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. And I know I don't like this microphone, that's for sure. Could have quoted it to you before I get to it. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. This isn't my normal Bible. We're told to take the gospel and to teach men to teach others also. That's our responsibility before God, you and I as individuals. And so we need to be willing to do that. This Bible is sticking pages together is what it's doing to me. 2 Timothy, 2 chapter, 2 verse. And the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What have we talked about with that word men there? It is not about us guys. It's about mankind. So it's applicable to every Christian here. Your responsibility is to take in the word and share the word. And that's why as we talk about the five, it's not limited young ladies, young man, young men. It's not limited to your parents. It's applicable to you as well. So let's take the word and share it with those around us. Let's evangelize. The spreading of the gospel is certainly the responsibility that we have as a congregation and as children of God. We need to recognize that and recognize that indeed it is something that is commanded by Jesus Christ. As we quoted there in Mark, the 16th chapter, there in those verses 15 and 16. So clearly, Jesus says our responsibility is to take that good news of His death and tell others about it. Share it with others that they might know the sacrifice of Christ. He wants us to take the good news and proclaim it. He wants us to proclaim it to everyone. I said five. I think the text here says everybody we know. And it isn't a one-off. That is to say, it's not an idea that, well, once I've told this person, okay, I check them off my list. I don't go back to them. We go back to them again and again and again and again. And I suspect many in this audience have been doing that for decades. Maybe you've found some success. The probability is you haven't found success. And I don't fault you for that. I think the fault would come if we're not even trying to take any of the seed out to others. Jesus does not command success in preaching the gospel, in taking the gospel to the lost. He doesn't command that you have the success to baptize people. Our responsibility is to get the word into their hearts. The good news of Jesus Christ into their hearts. And then the word works on their heart to convict them. We take the word and we convict them with the word. And then we see the results in a very physical way as they would die with Christ in baptism. Sharing the gospel is also by the preacher, that the congregation would support here and elsewhere. Congregations all over the United States are fortunate in being able to financially help men simply preach the gospel at every opportunity. Paul sometimes had to make tents, but he also had times when he didn't need to make tents. He told the Philippians he knew how to be abased, he knew how to abound. As the preacher, as a preacher, I recognize and take very seriously my responsibilities in sharing the gospel with others. And as has been mentioned from time to time by various men speaking at times, when they've referenced me, I'm glad they've not referenced it as, well, that's why we pay him, but I'm more than willing. I have the time that some of you don't. In order to readjust schedules and be able to go and talk to somebody where you might be able to introduce me to them, but their time and your time don't seem to gel to go any much further than actually the groundwork that you have laid, the seed you've sown. Preachers need to take seriously that responsibility. And let me just say, quite frankly, I think sometimes we as evangelists have failed to do that. We as preachers have failed to do that. A gentleman passed away. I mentioned it on Facebook, and we did not have him here, but he did preach in this county a number of years ago over Baldwin. His name was Floyd Chapelier. Floyd Chapelier was a very interesting man. My parents told me about him while I was stationed at Portsmouth, Virginia. They had him in for a gospel meeting in my hometown of Toronto. He had a humor that you had to get used to. If you think you had to get used to my humor, you really had to get used to Floyd's humor. We got back out of the service and we were at home, and Connie was expecting our yet last child. It is the middle of the summer, about 90 degrees out. We didn't have whole house air conditioning. Connie went out, because I was a plumber, and bought fresh shrimp, spent the day deveining it at about 7 months expecting, spent the day cooking a dish that is absolutely delicious. It's called shrimp curry. Obviously, it's in a curry sauce with rice and this shrimp. Absolutely delicious. He was called to the table with us, and he sat down and said, "That looks like it's already been eaten," and never touched it. For decades, my wife did not let me forget that, because I thought the world of Floyd Chapelier. First time I had an opportunity to speak at the lectureships in Annandale, Virginia, I told him, I said, "Floyd, you need to know, there's a woman down in Alabama that doesn't care for your humor." And he told me to send my apologies. And then when he came and held a meeting for us, he told Connie he truly was sorry. It broke her heart to have to forgive him, but she did. But let me tell you what I admired about this man. Two things. He had a little periodical that he published and didn't usually have very many other articles that others had written, but just his own. But every now and then he'd have a debate with somebody. And the rule was that you couldn't have, he didn't have a rebuttal and the other guy didn't have a rebuttal, because there are some magazines that I won't name that went through a period of the rebuttal of the rebuttal of the rebuttal of the rebuttal, and that's how the whole year seemed to go. They were running rebuttals to each other. So that was his rule. This man ran his debate points on an issue. Frankly, I'll tell you, the issue was the offering of the Lord's Supper on Sunday night. And Floyd ran his article in opposition to that view, supporting the idea. Then when you were done reading the debate, on the next page he said, as the owner of this paper, I have the right to make an exception to my rule. I forget the brother's name, but he said, that brother's point was right, and my points were wrong. He answered every one of them. To have the courage to sending out hundreds of these journals to folks and say, hey, I was wrong. I was impressed with that attitude. And not only that, he became very well known and held a number of gospel meetings. But you know something? He was in people's homes bringing them the gospel in the Washington, D.C. area and the Annandale area late into the night, helping others set up Bible studies, going to those Bible studies. And I've talked to some gospel preachers that have held gospel meetings all over the country, and I'll not name a one of them. And in private conversation, I've never heard them talk about a personal Bible study they'd had in somebody's home in years. But they were well known, and they're effective speakers, and that's about what they do. Evangelists are to be more than that. And that's a couple of the things that made me admire Floyd Chapelier. He passed away 2 weeks ago, and I admired him so much for that, and it helped me in my early years as a preacher to formulate that idea. First, don't insult the dinner where you go during a gospel meeting. Second, if you're wrong, you're wrong, and if you're going to be embarrassed about telling people you're wrong, so what? Better to be right than worried about losing face by admitting that you were wrong on an issue. And that, by no means am I implying that you must come to the same view I have on that particular issue. But the other thing was, and this was the most important of all, was the fact that he got down in the trenches and he went to people's houses late into the night and studied with them and helped them come to Christ. That's what we're to be as gospel preachers. That's part of who it is. It's not simply studying and understanding passages as best we can, but it's going and taking the gospel. And it's also the responsibility of each and every one of you as well. I know that's been the theme throughout the lesson, but I just want to drive it home that evangelism is sharing the gospel by all Christians, not just the preacher, not just the, quote, evangelist. It is important to recognize that the church grew the greatest in Acts the 8th chapter in the 5th verse. And y'all know what happened then. The persecution came. So if we pray for the growth of the church, you've heard me say this before, but if we pray for the church to grow, It's going to do it in one of two things. If we really mean it, it's either going to do it because we're out there taking the gospel to our friends who are lost, or we're praying that God brings persecution upon us that sends us out, scatters us from our hometown, our home county, but taking the gospel with us. So which will it be? Which will it be? It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. And we need, and I remember Jason mentioning this in that talk that night, as a reminder to us of what Peter said, we need to be ready to give a defense of the hope that is within us. And we need to be getting to the point where we can say, okay, I got these fundamental things I can share with somebody, and we'll see where it goes from there. As I've mentioned in the past, listen, never, never be afraid of starting a Bible discussion with somebody and even a Bible study with somebody because you may think they're going to ask me to explain the prophecies and the numbers mentioned in Daniel, the 9th chapter. or Daniel the 11th chapter. It's not going to happen. Share the good news. Tell what you know. Learn more and tell what you know. That's our responsibility. And it's certainly our responsibility as a congregation to be sending and to be helping those who preach the gospel. And we do that, and I am thankful for that. And I pray that we'll continue to be blessed financially to do that. That's part of being an evangelist and a congregation that is evangelistically minded. There seems to be three basic things that the congregation is involved in. One is the idea of edification of the congregation. And that happens a lot within the teaching that goes on within the congregation. Two is the idea of benevolence, and that's taking care of needs that arise within the congregation, financial needs that arise within the congregation. We see that clearly, but let us understand the third is evangelism. So that we want it known, not in the sense of tell everybody so they'll know about us, but we want it known by those we support, through whom we support, etc., that we want the gospel to go out. We want the gospel shared with the people in Vietnam, the people in Africa, the people in Europe, the people in other parts of the United States. That's who we are as a congregation. That's what we want to be known as far as being a congregation that understands its responsibilities, all three of them, but especially the idea of evangelism. Because a church is involved in sending and helping those who want to take the gospel to the lost. It is the responsibility of each and every Christian to do what they can. And when I put the idea there of sending and helping, I want to go back and make sure that with helping, I'm really including the idea of from a private basis. When you go back and you read in the Gospels and in the letters that were written by the various apostles and others, 3 John praises Gaius because he was helping those who were coming through to preach the gospel. He was helping to send them on the way financially in the preaching of the gospel. So it is our duty. It is our responsibility, and we need to take it seriously. We're going to close by simply asking, but why? And everybody knows what the answer is going to be. Because they're lost around us. I want to add a little more to that, but why? If I as a Christian and you as a Christian stop seeing the importance of evangelism within your life, I truly believe you will wither as a Christian. You will not become all that you can be as a child of God. I believe that we as a congregation, if we lose that spirit of evangelism as a congregation, we will wither. And that's not to say that we might not grow. We might very well grow in number, but spiritually, internally, within ourselves, we can wither. Because no matter how we grow outside of bringing the gospel to the lost, if it is simply whatever means to accumulate numbers without telling others about Jesus Christ, it is for no good. Except to maybe make us feel better. And I don't think any of us want to have that attitude or frame of mind. Why? Because I know 5 people that are lost. And so do you. And in 2019, I'm going to do all I can to bring one or all 5 of them to a point of conviction, to a point of decision making, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope you will do the same. We're going to sing a song of encouragement for those who are not members of the body of Christ, universal, the church. We do this as a custom, if you will, closing a service with the invitation, because we really don't want anybody to be going away thinking, boy, I would love to have put on Christ tonight. But let me say this to you as well. singing this song of invitation is simply a tradition that we have. We're not under biblical ordinance to offer this invitation when we gather together. I think it's a wonderful thing to do. So if you this night are outside of Christ and understand what's necessary to die with Christ in baptism and would desire to confess Him as the Son of God in front of this group of witnesses, then we would love the opportunity to see you die with Christ in baptism and rise to walk in newness of life. If you're a child of God that desires that we pray with you about some matter, as we've said at each invitation, let's pray together about it. But if you have a need to respond, we invite you to have a seat here at the front as we stand together and as we sing.